Cyrus, he is the almighty king of Persia. And he has a queen named Vashti. And he puts on a big festival and a party and things like that in Esther chapter 1. And calls the queen out. And the queen decides, Vashti decides she doesn't want to be a part of it. She's going to do her own thing. And so in doing so, Ahasuerus has to make a decision. He ends up putting her out of the kingdom, and now he's got to find a new queen. So in chapter 1, what you have in Esther chapter 1 is the fall of a queen. Then in Esther chapter 2, this is where you pick up the life of Mordecai. I know the book is called Esther, but I think you'll see through all of this the character that is the hero, or the one that this that's pointing to Jesus Christ in this, is going to be Mordecai. Let me give you Esther chapter 2, and just look at these verses, and I'm going to make parallels as fast as we can. Esther chapter 2. Mordecai in Esther chapter 2 is going to be a type of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now watch this. All right. Chapter 2, verse 5, the king makes goes out to look for a new queen, and then you're introduced to a man named Mordecai in verse 5. It says, now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. All right, Mordecai is a certain Jew, just like Jesus Christ is going to be a very certain, specific Jew. He is part of the captivity. He had been carried away to Babylon and carried back. Or he's part of the captivity, just like when Jesus Christ shows up, he is part of Israel's captivity. He's going to, and if you've been with us in Sunday school, specifically Jesus Christ is going to come from a place where the Gentiles are in charge. All right, Mordecai is a certain Jew. He's with the part of the captivity. He becomes a father figure to Esther. So here's the types, best we can do it here. Ahasuerus is going to be a picture of God the Father. Mordecai is going to be a picture of Jesus Christ. Esther is going to be a picture of faithful Israel, not just Israel in general, but faithful Israel. Okay? All right, so Mordecai in verse 7, look in verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. All right, so he becomes her father. He adopts Esther. No one knows Esther's pedigree yet. No one knows anything about her, but he personally adopts Esther. And it reminds me of this about the adoption. The Bible says this, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. All right, so he adopts Esther as his daughter. All right, then in verse 10, skip down to verse 10. I know I'm going through this super fast, but I'm trying. There's so much in here. Esther is picked out, or she's going to get ready to go through the trial period here to get prepared to be one of the possible picks here for the queen, for Ahasuerus. And Mordecai is the one overseeing this whole thing. He's watching Esther. He's trying to help her. He's raised her as his own daughter. And now in verse 10 it says, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So no one knows Esther is a Jew yet. No one knows her where she's from. Now this is going to be kind of, this is interesting. And I know I'm plowing through this stuff, but I hope it can make sense. But Esther is not going, it's not going to be revealed who Esther is until later on in the book. No one's going to know she's a Jew until basically the day of her deliverance. Now that's interesting, because you and I, the Bible says this about you and I if you're saved. The Bible says this, beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All right, you are a child. If you're saved, you're a child of God. But that's not evident to everybody yet. That's not what you are, has not appeared to everyone. Esther is a Jew, and Mordecai specifically tells her, don't tell anyone who you are. Don't tell anyone what you are. In the book of Esther, though, Mordecai, his identity is going to be revealed before Esther's. All right, here's the timeline. People knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God before they ever knew you are a son of God. It was clear, here's what I mean. When Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, you and I are still waiting on all that to happen. But people already know Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, and he's glorified and he's resurrected. The order in the book is Mordecai is going to reveal who he is long before Esther reveals who she is. The interesting thing about this is Esther's revelation of who she is tied to her salvation. When it's revealed who Esther is, when she reveals she's a Jew, and Ahasuerus finds out that Haman is trying to kill the Jews, that day, you'll see it in Esther, but that revelation of who she is tied to her salvation, just like you and me. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Your day of deliverance, the revelation of what you are as a son of God. I mean, you are on the inside that, but you're not on the outside that yet. All right, so hopefully it's making sense. All right, verse 11, Esther 2:11. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. This is a type, a picture of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and now walking among Israelites, God's people. He's walking among them, and he is what he says here, and Mordecai is learning what's going on with Esther. He's trying to guide her. Now listen to this. All right, Esther 2:11, Mordecai is walking with her. He's trying to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Listen to this about Esther, or about Mordecai walking with her and Jesus Christ walking with people, with man. The Bible says this: for such a high priest became us. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. All right, so Jesus Christ became us and walked among us. God manifest in the flesh. Here's Mordecai. He takes Esther as his daughter. He watches, he observes, he guides, he shepherds, he gives wisdom, he counsels. And all of this is going to lead to Esther's rise in power in Persia. All right, he's going to prepare her for a royal service, and she'll be fully prepared. But I don't want to get ahead of it. But all right, chapter 2, verse 20. At the end of this book, or I mean, at the end of this book, the end of this chapter, the Bible says here in the last, 21, 22, 23, there's a conspiracy in Persia. And there are a couple of guys who decide they want to assassinate the king. Well, Mordecai finds out about this, and Mordecai lets the king know through Esther, after Esther's been picked queen in chapter 2, he lets Esther know, and he is a protector in this sense. He's a protector of the kingdom. And so he lets the king know there's an assassination attempt being made, and they try the guys, and they decide they are planning an assassination attempt, and they end up hanging him. Well, that's going to come back to help Mordecai, but nothing's done. So Mordecai is, just like Jesus Christ, a certain Jew. He takes on Esther as his own daughter. He walks with her. He guides her. He counsels her. And then he protects. He's a protector of the kingdom of God. And while he's here, he is a protector of that kingdom. Now, God's going to reward him for that, just like Ahasuerus is going to reward Mordecai for this. That's going to come back later. All right, chapter 3. So you got Mordecai showing up, just like Jesus Christ showing up as God manifest in the flesh here. Chapter 3 is going to describe Mordecai as the Holy One. All right, look in chapter 3, verse 2. Well, let me explain what's going on. After the assassination plot gets foiled, Ahasuerus brings up a man named Haman. And he raises this man to power, and he puts him in a powerful position. And so in chapter 3, Haman is one of the most powerful men in Persia now. Haman is in Esther is going to be a type of the devil, type of death, a type of wickedness, a type of antichrist, things like that. Now look in chapter 3, verse 2. This is how Mordecai responds to Haman. "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman." So the kingdom was in obedience to Haman. "For the king had so commanded concerning him." But watch this. "But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Why aren't you bowing to the laws of the king? Now it came to pass," verse 4, "when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew." So he reveals himself. All right, chapter 3 is going to describe Mordecai as the Holy One. He doesn't bow down to any other gods other than God Almighty. Everybody's bowing down to Haman in the kingdom, but Mordecai's not. All right, so Haman's going to get mad that Mordecai is not bowing down to him. Now watch this, all right? In 3:2, it said, "Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Jesus Christ said to the devil in the temptation, he said, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then you notice, after he doesn't bow, he starts to get interrogated about why he's not bowing to this guy. Just like Jesus Christ is not following the accepted order of the religion and things like that. He's not bowing down to the things all the religious people are bowing down to. And he gets interrogated on a regular basis, daily. Why aren't you like them? Why don't you act like them? Why don't you talk like them? Why don't you pay taxes like them? Or do you pay taxes? Why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why are you doing this? And he just gets interrogated on a regular basis, just like Mordecai. So he is interrogated on a regular basis, but he never bows. He never bows to Haman. And that is going to get under Haman's skin, and Haman is going to hate that, and it's going to make him do something that's going to cause his own destruction, though. All right, he says, go down to verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. This is Haman's response. "And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore," now watch this, "wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." All right, so Haman first wants to kill Mordecai, but then he realizes Mordecai is a Jew, and then what he's going to go after now is Mordecai's people. So when Jesus Christ gathers disciples and the people start, some people start following him, one of the things he tells the disciples and the folks that are following him when he sends them out, he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves." You know why? Because the devil is after the people of God. And he's going to try to get to Mordecai eventually, but not yet. Right now, he's going to try to get to the people. All right, so he comes up with this plan. The Bible says this. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." I want you to notice, Haman is eventually going to go after Mordecai. But the first thing he does is he starts going after the people of Mordecai. He's going to come up with a plan to destroy the people of Mordecai. All right, chapter 4. All right, after this plan is all hatched, Haman comes up with a day that he's going to exterminate all the Jews. That's chapter 3. All because Mordecai didn't bow. That's the reason. Mordecai didn't bow to Haman. Haman hates that. And so he comes up with a plan to kill all the people of Mordecai. Now watch what Mordecai does. This is interesting. Chapter 4, verse 1. When he finds out there is a curse pronounced on the people. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. So now Mordecai is going to identify with the people that are cursed. What's going to happen is when you read about it with Jesus Christ's ministry, death, burial, and resurrection, this is going to get right down to his death, his burial, and his resurrection real quick. And that's the focal point of this thing. All right, so he's going to identify with the people of the curse. He takes off all the royal clothes. He doesn't make himself anything. He identifies now with people who cannot get into the palace. All right, so he's acquainted with grief. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, he was acquainted with grief. He puts on sackcloth and ashes, mourning apparel. He goes out and preaches in the streets. If you're in Sunday school, one of the things that happens in Jesus Christ's ministry is there's a couple turning points. One of them where he begins to preach repentance and he says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so this curse is now on these people, and he's going to identify with the people of the curse. Keep going down here to verse, verse 3, it says, "In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." All right, so the people are cursed. Jesus Christ will identify with people of the curse. Mordecai is going to identify with the people who are cursed. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, we've read it before on Wednesday nights, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Mordecai was in the palace. Now what he's going to do is leave the palace and become like everyone else. Not only that, he's going to warn people what's going on, saying this: something bad is happening. There's been a plot hatched to kill you. You are now under a death sentence. That's what Mordecai is going to explain to people. The Bible says, "But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." All right, you'll see that here in Esther as well. Mordecai becomes a friend to the cursed people. Chapter 4, later on here, Mordecai explains the curse. Look in verse 4. "So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not." So there's a thought on Esther's side. Well, he needs to put on new clothes. He needs to get some joy in his life. I mean, he needs to change a little bit. And Mordecai says, no, you don't understand the gravity of the situation. You're under a death sentence now. If I change clothes, it's not about my clothes. It's about there is a curse now pronounced from the king that came through Haman, and now you are under a curse. It's not about changing my clothes. It's not about getting joy or being happy. The fact is, we are under a curse, and me changing clothes isn't going to change that. And so he's going to explain the gravity of the curse. You're under a curse now. There's a failed attempt here by Esther to dress up Mordecai. That's not the issue. Verses 5, 6, 7, he's going to explain what the curse is. Now, this reminds me of this. When Esther tries to dress up Mordecai, it reminds me of this. You remember when Jesus Christ tells the disciples over and over, I'm going to a cross, I will be dead 3 days, and then I will come up from the grave. And the last time it's mentioned, when Jesus Christ says it, Peter pulls him aside and says, no, that's not, don't say stuff like that. And then Jesus Christ responds, get thee behind me, Satan. Remember that? It's after Peter rebukes him for explaining the gravity of the curse, and Peter rebukes him, and then Jesus Christ says, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God, but the things of men. Meaning, you just want me to live in the way I am. You don't understand that death will be required now. And so Esther's attempt to dress up Mordecai is like Peter's attempt and the disciples' attempt to make things better than they are, or to get around the curse somehow and somehow change the situation. But they can't change the situation. It is what it is. Then in verse 10, Mordecai commands Esther. He says this, again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who's not called, there's one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. Now this is where the famous, if I perish, I perish, and for such a time as this comes in. All right, because Mordecai has said, you're going to have to go to the king, and you're going to have to plead for our lives. You're going to have to do this personally. And then Esther's going to say, well, there's a law that if someone shows up to talk to the king and they're not invited, he'll kill them. And then Mordecai explains, you're already dead. You're under the death sentence. And if you don't go beg for your life, if you don't go explain the situation to the king, God will find some other way to do this, but you're dead anyway. You're under the curse. All right, Mordecai explains all that. Just like Jesus Christ says, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, this thing is about to happen here. But then notice this. This is real interesting. I know we're going over a lot of material and real fast. I hope I'm doing it justice. I hope it makes sense. At the end of chapter 4, Esther says this, verse 16. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. All right, is there any other time in the Bible where 3 days and three nights is significant? Yeah, there is. Now watch this. Watch what happens. Chapter 5. So you got 3 days, three nights thing? Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day. All right, so it's just like Jesus Christ, laid in a grave, 3 days, three nights. Chapter 5, you're not going to hear much from Mordecai. He's not. All that's happening in chapter 5 is Haman is talking about how much he hates Mordecai, and he's going to come up with a plot to hang Mordecai on gallows at the end of chapter 5. But notice it's 3 days, three nights. Now watch chapter 6, verse 1. On that night, all right, what night are we on? Third day, third night, on that night. Now watch. On that night, the king could not sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. All right, what's going to be read here is what Mordecai had done to save the kingdom earlier in the book of Esther. And that's going to be heard by Ahasuerus, the almighty king of Persia, and he's going to ask, what's been done for Mordecai? Remember, third day, third night. Third night. We're almost to morning, but we're not there yet. That night, the king opens the book, and he has it read before him. And what's read is what Mordecai had done to save the kingdom. And he says, well, what's been done for Mordecai? And they said, well, nothing's been done for him yet. And he says, he asked Haman, he says, well, what would you do for someone you wanted to honor? And he says, oh, I know what I'd do, because he thinks he's going to be honored. He said, I know what I'd do. I'd put the king's ring on. I'd put the crown on his head. I would put the royal apparel on him. I'd put him on the king's horse, and I'd parade him down the street. And Ahasuerus says, good. Go find Mordecai and do that. The morning of the fourth day, Mordecai is crowned with the glory from the Persian kingdom. He is put on a horse. He is paraded in the streets. Watch this. Chapter 6, verse 1, on that night could not the king sleep. Now watch what happens. In verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Day 4, the morning of day 4, Mordecai is now given the king's crown, given the king's apparel, and now paraded in the street. You know what that is a picture of? The resurrection. And from this point on, Haman's descent is unstoppable. He will never regain power again. Look in verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. That's a lot different than he was earlier on. Earlier on, he was demanding that Mordecai bow. Now he's got his head covered and he's trying to hide. Verse 13, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything, now watch this word fall, it happens three times here, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, the resurrection, the devil has begun to fall now. Now watch this. Thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they, now watch this, and while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. He didn't even get to finish his sentence. He's hauled out of his house. You're required at a banquet now. And I mean, Haman's fall is one thing after another. Just like after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says this about the resurrection. He says this. In John chapter 12, he says, now is the judgment of this world, the cross. And he goes into the ground, And then he resurrects from the ground, and Paul says, until that time death reigned. But now that there's a resurrection, death has no power. Understand? People live their lives around death up until now the resurrection, and anyone who will believe on Jesus Christ now doesn't have to live their life around the grave. Now you can live your life around Jesus Christ, who is life. So here's Mordecai. That's type of the resurrection. He is paraded around the streets. And the Bible says, Ahasuerus says, whoever the king wants to honor, this is how I'm going to honor him. This way is how I'm going to honor him. I'm going to give him a glorified body, just like Jesus Christ. Then chapter 7. I mean, this thing, it goes on. Chapter 7 now. Mordecai is the good shepherd who has laid down his life. He had risked his own life. Now he's been glorified. Now watch this. After Mordecai is glorified, Esther now asks for her own life. Chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? What is thy request, and it shall be performed even to half the kingdom? Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. All right, now Esther is going to ask for life. After Mordecai has been exalted, just like Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, resurrection and the life, now his people can have life. Chapter 7, verse, let's see. this thing, to me, it's so interesting. When Ahasuerus finds out, when Esther asks this, look in verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? So who is it that came up with this plot to kill the Jews? You tell me who he is and you tell me where he is. And Esther said, verse 6, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. All right, now wickedness has been identified. The Bible says this about Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Wickedness is identified here in Esther. The Bible says this. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, Colossians, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Interesting. So wickedness is going to be revealed, and Haman is going to be hanged on the gallows that he created. The very instrument that he planned to kill Mordecai with, the gallows, now will be the instrument of Haman's death. You know what the cross is? It's the instrument that the devil wanted to use to kill Jesus Christ. You know what the cross is? It's the instrument God uses to destroy the devil. Look down in verse 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. All right, listen to these verses. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know what he's describing? victory over the devil with the instrument the devil was going to use to kill Jesus Christ. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. And listen to this. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The cross. The gallows are what Haman built to kill Mordecai. And the gallows are the things that God would use to kill Haman. The cross is the thing the devil built to kill Jesus Christ, and the cross is the thing that God used to destroy the work of the devil. Now chapter 8. I hope y'all are, this is helpful. I like going through it. I love seeing Jesus Christ in the Old Testament like this. It's I like it. Now after the resurrection, Mordecai is exalted in the kingdom, and he becomes a mediator, just like Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 1, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And he took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. All right, so Mordecai is now in place of Haman here. There's, I don't know how many verses we should go to. I feel like we're going through so many. But Mordecai is exalted just like Jesus Christ. After the resurrection now, he will occupy a place of mediation for the king. Anything Mordecai says, the king says, what you say is what I said. Whatever you say, whatever you tell these folks, that's you can put my name on it. Watch that. Watch how he says it. Chapter 8, verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Who's got the king's ring now? Mordecai's got it. So the king says, whatever you say now, that's coming from me. He's the mediator now of the kingdom, just like Jesus Christ. And now watch the result of this. Watch the result of this. This is so cool. Chapter 8, I'm skipping around a little bit, but chapter 8, verse 7 through 14, it's almost like the New Testament. I mean, it's a good type of the New Testament going out. Look in verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. All right, so now these letters go out in the king's name written by Mordecai. They go out and they explain and they say, Haman is dead. Now there is a new law in town. Haman had a plan to exterminate the Jews. Now there's a new law in town, and now the Jews are able to arm themselves and able to protect themselves. It's a good picture of the New Testament going out. And watch this. It's also a good picture of the Holy Spirit going out. Look in verse 16. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, everywhere that word went out, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. You know what joy and gladness and all that stuff is a description of in the New Testament? That's the fruit of the Spirit. He said that new law went out, and when the people received that new law, there was joy, there was gladness, there was feasting, there was happiness. All right, so Mordecai, the mediator, he puts out the word, he puts out the a new law. The spirit, a type of the Spirit of God goes out. The people are now joyful. The Jews are now protected, or they're going to be protected. And in chapter 9, Mordecai is a great picture of the deliverer. Look over in verse 1. It says, "Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them." 12th month, 13th day, the picture is, the illustration is, or the timing is, you're right about near a new year. The year is almost over. A new year is about to begin. And Mordecai will be a deliverer, just like Jesus Christ is a deliverer. He's going to gather everyone together in verse 2. The Jews gather themselves together. You got some verses in Matthew about that. God gathering together his elect and things like that. Notice in verse 3, "And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell on him." All right, now Mordecai is in power, and now the fear of Mordecai has swept the land. Just like when Jesus Christ returns in the manger, okay, no one knew his name, but when he returns, everybody knows who he is. Every eye shall see him. They'll all know who he is. And the Bible says the fear of Mordecai swept the land. And then verse 4, it says, "For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater." All right, so he is a great picture now of Jesus Christ at the second coming. Look at it in chapter 9, verse 10. You remember anything about in Revelation when Jesus Christ returns? You got this beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns and all that stuff. 10 horns, remember something like that? All right. Interesting enough, Haman had 10 brothers. Watch this. Chapter 9, verse 10. "The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand." All right, so they kill the 10 brothers of Haman, but they don't take the spoil. You know what I thought about with that? When Jesus Christ returns, his people are not thieves or looters, or they're not killing other people just so we can take their stuff. The Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, his reward is with him. Understand? So there's not a bunch of thieves trying to kill a bunch of other people, and it's God's people trying to kill a bunch of other people so they can steal their stuff. Just like here, when the brothers of Haman are killed, the 10 brothers are killed, and you're going to find all of the people of Haman are killed, the Jews don't lay hand on any of the prey, or the spoil. They don't take anything. Why? Because their reward's not with them. Their reward is with the king. All right, so chapter 9, verse 10, and then verse 13, it said, "Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows." All right, so those 10 kings there with him, or those 10 brothers there, 10 sons, I said brothers, the sons there, are with him. Just like the 10 horns there in Revelation. The Bible says this, he says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." That's about all Haman got. 1 hour with the beast. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So you got a great prophetic picture here. And then Mordecai in chapter 9, verses 20 through 31, he's going to memorialize the day of deliverance, the Sabbath day. In verse 22, the Bible says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies. That's the word God uses when Jesus Christ returns, a Sabbath rest. When Jesus Christ is fully in power, it is a rest for his people. Now watch this. This is cool. Last thing. Chapter 10. Chapter 10 is a picture of the thousand-year reign. The Bible says this. Verse 2. And all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Now watch the description of Mordecai. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. A type of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Mordecai is now full. He is second only to the king, King Ahasuerus. He's in power over all of Persia. And the Bible says he is great among the Jews. He is accepted of the multitude of his brethren. He is seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. So you have in the book of Esther, for the ministry of Jesus Christ, you have a great type in Mordecai of Jesus Christ's ministry as he comes in the flesh, as he's crucified, as he's dead 3 days, three nights, as he resurrects, and in that resurrection and ascends into is glorified by God the Father, the devil is put down, the world is put down, as Mordecai ascends, gains more power, until chapter 10, and now you have wickedness put out of the kingdom, you have Haman dead, you have all his people dead, you have all the conspirators dead, and now there is peace among the Jews and all the kingdom. Just like a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. I mean, it is a great picture. I counted them up. I didn't read y'all. I had 5 pages of notes here. There are over 40 instances in the book of Esther where Mordecai is a picture of Jesus Christ. And not only is he a picture, but the order of things shows the order of Jesus Christ's ministry. It's pretty... I thought it was really, really neat to see that. Really neat to see that. But it shows you, when the Holy Spirit put this book together, he knew exactly what he wanted to put in there and exactly who he wanted to illustrate in these Old Testament books. Mordecai is a great picture of Jesus Christ. So I hope that's helpful to you.